Oh. The ancient Greeks had four words for love. The first is philia. Philia is affection that grows from friendship. Next, there's storge, the kind you have for a grandparent or a brother. Third, there's eros, the uncontrollable urge to say, I love you. The fourth kind of love is different. It's the most admirable. It's called agape. Love has an action. It takes courage, sacrifice, strength. For 175 years, we've been helping people act on their love so they can look back or look ahead and say, we got it right.
Well, it's that time of year, and it's amazing that it takes a Super Bowl ad to teach us basic church language issues. Obviously, whoever organized that particular commercial for an insurance company who will remain nameless has been in church before, because pastors for years have been talking about how language affects how you live your life. Imagine if you only knew one word for something, you didn't know how to express it. There's a lot of confusion through this process. We're going to look at those today. And relationships are constantly changing. If we don't have language to work with them, then what we plan and what actually happens gets to be a real confusing mess. When expectations don't meet reality, that's when relationships end. Now take a pause. We're not just talking about love relationships. We're talking about family relationships, boss relationships, work relationships, friend relationships, neighborhood relationships. Jesus and Scripture do not consider anything not a holy place. The work that he's doing in your home, in your life, with your friends is still his work. And so we're going to look at that today. You know, in the last year, a unique study came out. There's always relationship studies. From the little teenage magazines where you circle and you figure out if you're in love or not, to actual scientists doing work. And a study came out last year about this whole idea of relationships quizzes, and they started with couples and they moved to business partners. And it was such a unique study because it found one factor that predetermined whether a relationship would work or not. They started with people that were in love and were going to get married. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. And then they went to business partners, and then they went to friends, and then they waited to see if that relationship continued. And there was only one factor. They didn't ask questions like, do you love your partner? They didn't ask questions about what's so awesome about your boyfriend. No. They asked broader questions, and they made people sit in the same room. And one of the questions they asked, it said, I want you to share your hopes and dreams. And one of the partners would share this, business partners, friends, cohorts, and people that were going to get married. And the number one factor that marked whether that was going to happen or not was whether people rolled their eyes. Disdain. They found that while someone else was sharing their hope of dreams, if that automatically made you roll your eyes, the percentage of chance of your relationship, whatever it was, succeeding or not, dropped down to 15%. I'm sure you've never rolled your eyes at anyone. We're just talking abstractly. Imagine that. That disdain is more powerful than where people live, what their economics were, all those things that we would say love is. I really feel for them. I want their success. No, apparently, love is not disdaining them when they're opening their heart. You've been to every wedding in the world. Every wedding in the world has this passage from 1 Corinthians that we're going to look at. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is and if in the middle of doing a ceremony while they're sharing that, if one of the couples rolls their eyes during that section of Scripture, what does a pastor do? They just say, time out. This is never going to work. You know, she just rolled her eyes. Love is patient. She rolls her eyes. Okay, we're done. Go to the buffet. What's interesting about this section of Scripture is that to the church, it's to the church in Corinthians. And what's great about this letter to the church in Corinthians, The church in Corinth was a hot mess. They were the Las Vegas of the Roman Empire. It was where you went to party, to sell your goods, and then you left. What stayed in Corinth stayed in Corinth, apparently. And Paul has to write two letters. Some of the scenarios that he talks about are just ridiculous. And he basically gets the believers in Corinth and says, you're following Jesus, sort of, when you have to. And he challenged them with this beautiful love passage. Why didn't he just let him be? Well, because he was following the example of Jesus. Jesus constantly pushes us to understand things from where God's perspective is. He did it with Peter after the resurrection. He said, I got to put this church in some people's hands. How do I do that? And so today we're going to read the scripture, the passage of scripture from John 21. Just a couple of verses of him talking with Peter. And we're going to read it from the Amplified Bible. So I have at home an interlinear Bible that shows the Greek and the English, and it shows these little words. You're like, oh, there's agape. You're not going to carry that thing in your pocket. So somebody made a version of the Bible that has these little things in brackets. We're going to read them together. You'll see the scripture in bold, and then you'll see in italics which version of love Jesus is talking about. Let's read together the word of the Lord. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these, as others do, with a total commitment and devotion? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Again he said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a total commitment and devotion? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal affection as for a close friend? Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. You see how that went downhill fast? Peter, do you love me undyingly? Yeah, like a buddy. Peter, do you love me undyingly? Yeah, like a friend. All right. Peter, do you love me like a friend? I love you like a friend. Can you imagine how much your heart would be broken if you have that happened in your life? You said to a spouse or a coworker or a friend, you're using the same word. Do you love me? Say, sure, I love you. Until I find something better. That's what we're going to look at today. Let's take that confusion out and find out what love actually is. Let's pray. Father, help us just in a couple verses today figure out what love isn't. Open our hearts like you did with Peter of saying, we need more. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in the ways that only you can. That your word would become living and true in us and through us. And we'll give you all praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you saw in that video, there are four love words that are used in the Bible. We have Zena who works in the cafe. I actually asked permission to share this with you today. Zena has helped me out a lot with the artist formerly known as the Devil's Dander of Snow. I'll come up and I'll say, Zena, is it snowing today? And Zena will go, no, it's snow flaking. Now that may not work for you, but for me, as soon as that stuff falls from the heaven, I believe we should lock down everything, turn on heaters, and hide. And so when I come up and ask Zena, hey, is it snowing out there? I'm thinking, they said it's snow. It's not going to be above my roof. Why go outside? This place is evil. And Zena says, no, it's snow flaking, which means snowflakes are falling, but they do not remain on the ground. Isn't that an awesome clarification? She would like you all to use them. But you think about snow, how many different words we have for snow. Here's how the Bible walks through these words. Eros is a feeling. So I got to tell you, if you've been married for more than 1 week, you're going to go through a cycle of Eros and non-Eros love in your house. That spouse is, I just love them so much. Oh my gosh, why can't they put the dishes in the dishwasher? Eros, non-Eros. It's a feeling. Storge is this familial love. This is the most interesting love. This is mama bear love. You are genetically predisposed. God made you that you will love your children and grandchildren in spite of any other living or breathing thing. This is when your grandchild or child walks, you walk around showing everyone, the McDonald's worker, the other people, no one cares, but you love that child. It is in you. That's also one of the more painful ones to have broken. If you have a father that could never say, I love you, Eros, but loved you, Storge, by paying the bills, I'm eternally electric. Very hard love when it fails. Then there's philia. That's what we have. I don't know what you watch on TV. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what sports teams you cheer for. When we are in this room, we have a common idea that Jesus saves and he saves me, philios. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Sports teams have this philia. You walk through a store, I have seen men who would never speak to each other, but because they're wearing the same color hat in the same sports season, they go, what's up, buddy? I have seen other people in their relationships, they bump into each other and they hear somebody talking about a TV show and they go, I love that show. 10 minutes later, they're talking about this TV show that they love. It's a kindred kind of thing. But God pushes us to have this deep, agape, sacrificial love. So let's walk through quickly these couple verses in 1 Corinthians and look at what he says love's not. And then next week we'll look and see what love is. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Now again, he's saying agape love. The love that God shows you does not envy, does not boast, and has no pride in it. Well, we're already out of luck there. If you look at the other types of relationships, wow, early dating relationships are full of envy. Why are you talking to that girl? Because she was getting me my order at McDonald's. You like her, don't you? You know, and guys like, what are you talking to that guy for? He's my math teacher. Oh, yeah, math. Uh-huh. They're full of envy. I've seen people that walk through these other relationships and other types of relationships, and they talk about, oh, man, even the Storge, one of the primary things we teach at Upward is, can you compliment your kid if they're not an NBA player? Is that possible to show agape love rather than Storge love? Because you know, you have heard from everybody how awesome their kid is at soccer, baseball, hockey, dancing, ballerina, blah, 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 blah. You never hear the kids say, my kid's okay at soccer, but I love him. He loves that game. You've heard boasting. That is the quintessential thing about friendships. We are the best friends. We are the awesomest friends. Nobody else is like us. They're all smelly and foul in other ways. You know, you're the best friend. You love what I love. You thought the same way. Eros, Storge, and philia all have these little nuances of envy, boasting, and they all kind of corner themselves in pride. But when you see love, when agape shows up and you see love the way God shows up, he loves you even if you're the worst artist in the world and you draw him a love picture, he loves you. Even if you pray the worst, you're just not good at prayers. Even if when we sing worship songs, you make a joyful noise, literally it's noise, to the Lord. The people in front of you move out of the way so they can avoid your voice during our worship songs. None of that has to do with agape love for you. It is not performance-based love. Imagine that. Imagine if you applied that in other areas of your life. I love my spouse, even if she doesn't or he doesn't do what I need him to do. I love that family member that's far away from me with an agape type of love. I don't need to brag about them and say they're the best to love them. I feel really passionate about this, but I know that it's just one thing out of many. I don't have to brag about how passionate I am. Imagine that kind of love. Paul expands it for the church in Corinth into not just thoughts and feelings, but actions. He says, love does not dishonor others, and it's not self-seeking.